stand up, just do a final little stretch. We're going to pray together, and then we're going to come around to the Word of God. So, Father, thank you for the privilege, the immense privilege of having and owning our own Bibles, of being able to get into the Word of God together without fear of our lives, Lord, of being able to come and have fellowship with one another, being able to worship freely in your name. Lord, thank you for the immense privilege of being able to be called a child of God, that you called us and adopted us into your family. Lord, I pray that you would take my mouth and use me today, speak through me. Lord, let them not hear me, but the Holy Spirit speaking directly to their hearts. And Lord, I pray for hearts to be open to receive your word, Lord, that we'd have ears to hear and eyes to see and hearts to understand, in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. All right. I want to talk to you today about heeding the call. Now, I don't know what type of child you were, if you were a very compliant, obedient child, if you were a very curious child, if you were a rather strong-willed child. there's some confessionals though. but I think maybe most of us as kids would have had a time when we would have heard our parents call, and even if we did obey straight away, we went, because we're right in the middle of something. Even as an adult, now that I'm a parent and my kids call me and I'm right in the middle of something, sometimes I'm like, okay, what is it? But God is calling us, and I just wonder what our response is. I find it very fascinating that Eli, the high priest of the Israelites, way back in the day, Eli was supposed to hear from the Lord and minister to the people, but it seemed like his ears had grown dull of hearing. But there was a little boy put in his charge who lived in the temple and worked with him. His name was Samuel. And Samuel, asleep, hears a call. Samuel, Samuel. And he, it says, straight away ran to Eli and said, "Here I am, you called me." Now, how many of your kids get out of bed the moment you call them and come running? Parents in the room, is that your experience? Where are all the hands? Particularly, okay, parents of teenagers, you call your kids, do they jump out of bed and come running? they went walking and groaning and dragging their feet. Oh my goodness. So something special about Samuel was that the moment he heard his name called, he was so quick to respond. "Here I am. What can I do for you? What did you want me to do?" And Eli, "What? Oh, what's the matter, lad? Huh? No, I didn't call you. Go back to sleep." I can just picture it. I reckon God had fun with this moment. Eli gets just back into the sound sleep. The snoring rhythm continues. And then Samuel hears it again. "Samuel, Samuel." And Samuel throws back the covers and jumps out of bed and runs as fast as he can and lands on top of Eli and says, "I'm here. What do you want?" Poor Eli. "What are you doing? I didn't call you. Go back to bed." Well, the third time this happens, Eli gets a clue. He must have been pretty tired. Hey, it took three times for him to figure it out. But he gets a clue. He says, "Oh, listen. I think God is calling you. So if you hear it again, you just say, 'Speak, Lord, your servant is listening.'" So Samuel goes back into bed. I reckon by now he's going, "Please speak again. Please speak again." And there's that voice, "Samuel, Samuel." He says, "Speak, Lord, your servant is listening." And God begins to tell him things about nations. And he is a child. You see, God could have told Eli, but Eli wasn't listening. God is looking for people who will heed his call. I have cats and dogs. Dogs, you call their name, they look up, wag the tail. Cats, you call their name. Yeah, mine are very talented. They will look at me and come if I rattle the cat food packet. Suddenly, I have their full attention. It's amazing. I'm disinterested, rattle, rattle. Did you call me? It's very one-sided in saying that I do have lovely cats, but you get the point, right? A dog is there with a heart to serve. The cat is there to be served. They say cats have masters. You know, we are the cats are the masters, and it's probably true. But what is our response when we feel that tug inside, when we feel like God is prompting us, calling us, maybe that there's something more? What is our response? Are we going to be like Samuel? And you know, we don't want to just say, oh, what is it? What can I do? And then we find out what it is and we won't go, I'm not going to do that. Sometimes it's like, oh, would you like to help me? Depends what it is you want help with. What is our attitude when we hear God's call? Can you go to Judges chapter 6 for me, please? So, Old Testament, go to the start of the Bible and jump through to the 6th book of the Bible. And Joshua, 7th book of the Bible, sorry. Chapter 6. Judges chapter 6. And we're going to actually start in, well, we might start in verse 1. I was going to just skip over that, but we'll read together quickly. Okay. Just say, found it. If you found it. Very good. Who still needs a bit of time? Say, oh my. All right. Here we go. Then the children of Israel did evil in the sight of the Lord. So the Lord delivered them into the hand of Midian for 7 years. And the hand of Midian prevailed against Israel. Because of the Midianites, the children of Israel made for themselves dens and caves and the strongholds which are in the mountains. So it was, whenever Israel had sown, Midianites would come up, also Amalekites, and the people of the east would come up against them. Then they would encamp against them and destroy the produce of the earth as far as Gaza and leave no sustenance for Israel, neither sheep nor ox, nor donkey. Now, I don't know if any of you have ever felt like you give, you sow, you try and help lots of other people, but it feels like nothing's ever coming back. Like, for all your efforts, you're just as worse off today, if not worse off, than you were yesterday. But that's exactly what was happening here. So these people, as soon as they would sow, before they could reap their harvest, would come and destroy everything. It says in verse 5, for they would come up with their livestock and their tents, coming in as numerous as locusts. Both they and their camels were without number, and they would enter the land to destroy it. So verse 6, so Israel was greatly impoverished because of the Midianites, and the children of Israel cried out to the Lord. Verse 7, and it came to pass when the children of Israel cried out to the Lord because of the Midianites, that the Lord sent a prophet to the children of Israel who said to them, thus says the Lord God of Israel, I brought you up from Egypt and brought you out of the house of bondage, and I delivered you out of the hand of the Egyptians and out of the hand of all who oppressed you, and drove them out before you and gave you their land. Also, I said to you, I am the Lord your God. Do not fear the gods of the Amorites in whose land you dwell, but you have not obeyed my voice. They were in the state they were in because they hadn't heeded the voice of the Lord. Sometimes we are in trouble of our own making. Sometimes we just haven't listened. We haven't really thought it through. We've thought we'd know better, and then we end up in a mess and pickle. But God is so merciful. Even if you're in a trouble of your own making, He is still the way. He is the way out. And He provides a way here. And I want us to have a look at this together. So verse 11. Now the angel of the Lord came and sat under the terebinth tree, which was in Ophrah, which belonged to Joash the Abiezrite. Hallelujah, we don't have those names today. While his son Gideon threshed wheat in the winepress in order to hide it from the Midianites. So Gideon is in a little winepress trying to thresh wheat to hide it from the enemy so they don't come and devour the little that he has. His entire world at this point is evolved around surviving. Hanging on to the little that he has, his biggest accomplishment is to thrash and thresh wheat in a wine press and have enough to make some bread for the day. That's his accomplishment. And it's in the middle of this, it says in verse 12, and the angel of the Lord appeared to him and said to him, the Lord is with you, you mighty man of valor. Can I say that I really feel impressed in my heart that today God is wanting to show up in the middle of your ordinary, in the middle of your small, in the middle of your limitations, in the middle of your fear, in the middle of your anxiety, in the middle of your concern, or even your disappointment, or even your confusion. I don't know which way to go. God is wanting to show up right in the middle of it and give you a different narrative, a different sound. If you will hear what God is saying, I'm telling you, God is never saying over you the negative things that sometimes we do in our self-talk over ourselves. God is not looking at you and saying small, failure, insignificant. He's not looking at you saying you'll never amount to anything or this is as good as it's going to get. Those are not the words that God will speak over you. Your Creator knows what you were designed for. And when He comes and shows up in your world, He shows up to take you from small to tall, to take you from insignificant to significance, to take you from where you are to where you were meant to be. And here He is showing up to Gideon, and He says two things. One, the Lord is with you. And two, you mighty man of valor. I love this. I just wish that this had a video cam that was recording. I would have loved to see the look on Gideon's face. There he is, thrashing wheat. All of a sudden, there's an angel in front of him. Now, for starters, that would get my attention. And two, the angel speaks to him and he says, the Lord is with you, you mighty man of valor. And I can imagine Gideon's face going, what just happened? And what did I just hear? Me, a mighty man of valor? That's hilarious. So what does Gideon say? Gideon said to him, O my Lord, if the Lord is with us, so he's questioning, if God was with me, why did this happen? Why did that happen? If God really loved me, how come He let this happen in my life? If God really loved me and cared about me, why am I in the place I'm in? That's often where we start. God comes with a word of encouragement and we go, yeah, but. And that's where Gideon is. And he's saying, if the Lord is with me, well then, why has all this happened to us? And where are all the miracles which our fathers told us about? Saying, did not the Lord bring us up from Egypt? But now the Lord has forsaken us and delivered us into the hands of the Midianites. He had a massive whinge to God. I don't know if any of you ever had a whinge to God. Any of you have ever said, hey, I really don't like my life, and I don't like the way you're not really getting involved in helping me. And sometimes we have a whinge, but his heart was, As a small boy, a seed was planted in me. My mom and dad told me that the sea itself was parted by the breath of God, and they walked across it on dry ground to get away from their enemies. And then the sea came back over their enemies and swallowed them up when they tried to pursue them. And my mom and dad told me that plagues came in the land of Egypt, and they decimated Pharaoh and his people because they wouldn't let them go. And my mom and dad told me that this thing called manna would fall out of heaven every day and feed them. Millions of people eating at God's table. My mom and dad told me that Moses would speak to the rock or hit the rock and fresh water would flow in the desert. I've heard all this stuff. But all I see is the Midianites coming and taking all of our crops, destroying all of our land, and I'm left with next to nothing in a wine press with a very ordinary life that is just not any kind of existence at all. That's where Gideon's at. And what does the Lord say to him? Do you know, I found this super fascinating. He didn't answer any of Gideon's questions. He just said this. Go in this might of yours, and you shall save Israel from the hand of the Midianites. Have I not sent you? You know, God, there's a problem. He says, good, I'm sending you to be the answer. God, I don't understand. Where are the miracles? You're supposed to be working them. God, I don't understand. Where's the provision? You need to go. When you go, the provision is there. Go in this might of yours. God didn't come down to his pity party. He invited him up to soar. Verse 15, so he said to him, oh my Lord, how can I save Israel? Indeed, my clan is the weakest in Manasseh, and I am the least in my father's house. So again, he's saying, I am small, I'm insignificant, I don't count for anything. Why would you say that to me? And the Lord said to him, again, he doesn't acknowledge those things. The Lord said to him, surely I will be with you, and you shall defeat the Midianites as one man. Now Gideon has a choice. He's heard the word of the Lord, and he has a choice. He can stay in his old mindset and his old mentality. Well, my family have never been great. We've always been the ones that everybody else talks about. My family have never been anything. We just Aussie battlers getting by. We're just doing it tough. He could stay in that mentality, and you know what? They would have stayed defeated people. Or he can shift from his original mindset to listen and heeding what God's saying and come over here and start dreaming of the possibilities. Wait, what if we didn't have to live under the rule of the Midianites? What if we didn't have this terrorism plaguing our land? What would it look like to plant a crop and have it grow and we could reap the harvest? What would it look like to be a people not oppressed and bound and liberated? He could begin to think about what God had said. You know what I find interesting, what Gideon does next, is he doesn't actually doubt what God has said is possible. He just doubts that it's possible for him. If I was to get a show of hands, and let's do this, if I said to you, God could solve the problem in Ukraine tomorrow, if he wanted to. If he wanted to just step in, he could solve the war in Ukraine tomorrow. Who believes that God is able to do that? Would be impossible. Most of you do. You think it's possible. What if God said to you, I'm sending you to Ukraine to stop the war, and you're going to save that nation like one person? Do you still think that's possible? Most of the times, we don't doubt God's ability, but we do doubt ours. We go, of course God can, but I can't. But see, God isn't just with us in the new covenant. He's in us. We are his representatives. Christ in us, the hope of glory. And today, the call is going forward. He's trying to stretch us to think so much bigger. Gideon thought he was accomplishing something by thrashing wheat in a wine press, that he was brave and doing something to help out his people. God's like, I want you to think so much bigger. I don't want you in the daily grind treadmill of the same old every day. I have so much more for you. I have nations for you to take over, to liberate, to set free. I want you to think bigger. So what does Gideon do? He says to him in verse 17, then he said to him, to this angel, which many say is a representation of Jesus, if now I have found favor in your sight, then show me a sign that it is you who talk with me. Do not depart from here, I pray, until I come to you and bring out my offering and set it before you. So the first thing he wants to do is he wants confirmation. God, I know I just heard you say this, but it's so big. My mind needs to hear it at least twice. I need some sort of confirmation that I'm not just having a really bad day in the sun. I want to make sure that this is of you. So he goes, it says he went and prepared a young goat and unleavened bread, made some broth. My mouth is salivating reading this. I'm like, oh, who likes a good stew? Oh, man. I'm like getting into this with bread, dip in it. This is amazing. Anyway, he brings it, presents it. The angel, I mean now verse 20, the angel of God said to him, take the meat and the unleavened bread and lay them on this rock and pour out the broth. That was just the hard part for me because it didn't say there was a bowl. I'm just like, not the broth. Anyway, and he did so. Then the angel of the Lord put at the end of the staff that was in his hand and touched the meat and the unleavened bread, and fire rose out of the rock and consumed the meat and unleavened bread. And the angel of the Lord departed out of his sight. Would that work for any of you as confirmation? Would you think God was with you if you saw that? Fire come out of a rock and consume the bread and the meat? That's pretty awesome. Verse 22, now Gideon perceived that he was the angel of the Lord. So Gideon said, alas, O my Lord God, for I have seen the angel of the Lord face to face. Then the Lord said to him, peace be with you. Do not fear, you shall not die. So Gideon built an altar there to the Lord and called it, the Lord is peace, or the Lord Shalom. To this day, it is still an offer of the Abezarites. So what happens? Peace fills Gideon. Now, the next thing that God asks him to do is to cut down the idol of Baal and the image next to it that his father had built. So when you hear God's call, I can guarantee you the next thing he's going to be saying to you is, I need you to let go of your false gods. Now, I know you probably think in this room, well, I don't have any idols that I bow down to at home. I don't worship any false gods. But you know, we make gods out of all sorts of things. Anything that we put in the place of God in our life that takes that rightful place of him becomes a false god. A false god can be even mindsets of things that we think about God that are not God. Well, we've tried to make God in our own image instead of who he really is. So he's saying, I'm going to start to challenge your mindsets, your false beliefs, your false gods, the things that you've given your worship to. Now, let me tell you what modern day worship is. It's whatever you obsess over. Okay, are you obsessing over God, His presence, His love, His favor, His goodness, who He is? Are you absolutely smitten with Him? Or has something else captivated your heart, your mind, and your attention? Because that has become a God to you. You know, it's easy to know what's a God because it's the first thing you think of when a calamity or if you're going through a hard time. We go back to our old patterns. And I remember once I was a kid, I used to have a little cane bookcase like this. It was an arch. And I had all my favorite books in there. I was such a bookworm. And one day I thought about, what if our house was to catch on fire? I thought, oh, if I only had a few minutes, what would I save? And a picture came to my mind of me grabbing my Bible, my cat, and my bookcase. And I could see me loving it out the door. Ain't no flames going to get them novels, I'll tell you what. That was the day I realised maybe my books had taken a place in my heart that they shouldn't have because they meant too much to me. And What is it that we turn to? I know I'm even working on this one. After a big day, sit down. What is the first thing you want to do to unwind? Instead of Adam and Eve in the cool of the day would go and be with the Lord and hear His voice calling them in the garden. That's been beautiful fellowship together. But what is the first thing that I want to do? Do we reach for the remote control? Do we reach for the book, the magazine, the newspaper, the phone, the iPad? What is it when we're wanting to just disconnect? What is it that's charging us and fueling us? I feel like God is saying, I want to take that place in your life. If you come to Him and you are weary, there is a beautiful promise. He doesn't say, come to me and I will talk your ear off and make you even more exhausted. He says, come to me, all you who are weary and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. The best recharge you can have is to go to the source of the electricity. Just stick your finger in the socket. I tell you what, you'll feel alive. Go to the source of all life and light and power and let Him recharge you. So Gideon was instructed to take down the altar and the idols of Baal. And he built a fresh altar to the Lord instead. And it was out of this position that now he's ready to act on God's word. Okay, I'm going to skip down. He puts out a fleece. He asks for two more signs. By this point, it was within a day or two of this word being given to Gideon. It says that all the army of the Midianites and the Amalekites decided that this was their raid season again, and they came. And you could look across the land, and as far as the eye could see, all you can see is tents, camels, and people. And they're there. So Gideon doesn't have a lot of time between God speaking and, no, I need to act. They're there. They're already encamped. And I like to picture this. I don't know if any of you have ever been up to a high place overlooking a city. And sort of as far as the eye can see, all you can see is houses. And it's pretty. I was in Johannesburg in South Africa. And we were traveling from there to another place where we were going to have a meeting, and the car went up on this rise like this, and I turned and looked back behind me, and it was one of the most overwhelming feelings I've ever had in my life, because from this point I could just see so far, and there was just buildings and habitation and roads like every direction as far as my eye could see. And I just thought, you know, David said in the Psalms, what is man that you are mindful of him? I just thought, I'm just a little blip in the middle of all this. Oh my goodness. It was hard not to feel overwhelmed by the vastness that I could see around me. And yet, we need to remember we are being called mighty men, mighty women of valor. God says, you will take down this army like as if you're one man. So Gideon believes what God has said, and he begins to step into his calling, step into the calling that God has on his life. So how does he do it? God gives him a strategy, and I love this. We're going to have a look at this, and then we're going into just one other verse, and we'll wrap it up. So I'm in now Judges chapter 7, and Gideon began to gather an army of people, and God looks at this army, and he says, there's way too many. Now remember, they can't even count how many are in the opposition. But God says, there's too many. Tell all who are afraid to go home. And I think it says there was about, 22,000 people returned home. You know, I really believe that COVID wasn't a pandemic of sickness as much as a pandemic of fear. Fear has an atmosphere. You know, when COVID was on, you'd walk down the street and there was an atmosphere. Everyone mistrusting everyone, staying away from everyone. Fear. I believe God is looking for a people who will trust him and not be afraid. So 22,000 went, 10,000 remained. But the Lord said to Gideon, I'm now in verse 4, the people are still too many. Bring them down to the water and I will test them for you there. Then it will be that of whom I say to you, this one shall go with you, the same shall go with you. And of whomever I say to you, this one shall not go with you, the same shall not go. So he brought the people down to the water. And the Lord said to Gideon, everyone who laps from the water with his tongue as a dog laps. Likewise, everyone who gets down his knees to drink. And the number of those who lapped, putting their hand to their mouth, was 300 men. But all the rest of the people got down on their knees to drink water. Then the Lord said to Gideon, by these 300 men who lapped, I will save you and deliver the Midianites into your hand. Now let all the other people go, every man to his place. So the people took provisions and their trumpets in their hands, and he sent away all the rest of Israel, every man to his tent, and retained those 300 men. I felt like God put something in my heart this week. I felt like he said, Anita, I'm looking for 300 men and women again who will have no fear of the enemy, who will be swift to obey my word, who will hear what I say and do it, who will arise in this hour and forget all their insecurities and instead trust me that I know who I created them to be and will just leap in. Will you be one of the 300 who will stand up and say, I'm going to be counted in this hour. I'm going to do whatever God tells me to do. I'm not going to look at my insecurities and my not enoughs. I'm going to look at his more than enoughs. I'm going to look at who he is, how big he is, how strong he is, not how weak I am. And his strength is going to become my strength. And his word is going to enter my heart, and I'm going to walk in the power of that word and see the land taken back for Jesus. It says, now the camp of Midian was below him in the valley. I'm going to skip down now. And we'll start here. So he comes to the camp, Gideon does, and he says to these 300 men, arise, for the Lord has delivered the camp of Midian into your hand. And he delivered the 300 men into three companies, and he put a trumpet into every man's hand with empty pitchers and torches inside the pitchers, or vases, you know, pots. And he said to them, look at me and do likewise. Watch, and when I come to the edge of the camp, you shall do as I do. When I blow the trumpet, I and all who are with me, then you also blow the trumpets on every side of the whole camp. And say, the sword of the Lord and of Gideon. Now, interestingly enough, they had a trumpet, they had a fiery torch, and they had an earthen pot over the top of the torch so you couldn't see the light yet. But he says to them, shout the sword of the Lord and Gideon, but none of them were holding a sword. But, you know, the Bible says that the word of God is like a two-edged sword. Do you know you don't need a sword in your hand when you have the sword in your mouth? When you have the word of the Lord in your mouth, it becomes a sword that will slay the enemy. And it will slay it in the might and the power of God. What's amazing is that these men were not going to have to fight in the traditional way. God wanted to set them up for victory, and God is setting you up for victory and to do great things in his name. So what happened? Verse 19. So Gideon and all the 100 men who were with him came to the outpost of the camp at the beginning of the middle watch, just as they had posted the watch. And they blew the trumpets and broke the pitchers that were in their hands. Then the three companies blew the trumpets and broke the pitchers. They held the torches in their left hands and the trumpets in their right hands for blowing. And they cried, "The sword of the Lord and of Gideon." And every man stood in his place all around the camp. And the whole army, so this isn't their army, this is the Midianite army, ran and cried out and fled. When the 300 blew the trumpets, the Lord set every man's sword against his companion throughout the whole camp. And the army fled. And it goes on to say how far they fled and what and how they got captured and everything. And God literally gives the victory. But what's amazing is they stood there as a light and heralded the sound from heaven. The sound of victory. And this is what I believe God's wanting to put in our hearts today, a victorious sound. And he's wanting us to understand that there is more that he has for us. He doesn't want you living in your small. He wants you to enter into the more. I'm going to finish with two more passages, which I can just read out, or you can have a look if you want. Remember, the first thing that God said to Gideon was, go in this might of yours. And Jesus has commissioned his church, you and I, to do the same thing. Matthew 28, 18 to 20 says, and Jesus came and spoke to them saying, all authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth. Go, therefore, and make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things that I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the age. Then in Mark 16, 15 to 18, again, Jesus said to them, go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. He who believes and is baptized will be saved, but he who does not believe will be condemned. And these signs will follow those who believe. In my name, they will cast out demons. They will speak with new tongues. They will take up serpents. And if they drink anything deadly, it will by no means hurt them. They will lay hands on the sick and they will recover. We have been given a commission to go, not to fight an army in the natural, but to see the people who are in bondage, who need liberty, to see those who are held captive to addictions, those who are have never had the light of Christ shine in their hearts. He is calling us to go into all the world, just like he commissioned Gideon. And he said, I am with you. I am in you. I want you to go in my name and do what I did. What did Jesus do? He healed the sick. He brought life. He brought justice. He was amazing. And he's given us his same work to do in his name. So this week, I want you to get before the Lord and let him speak his word to your heart. What scripture is going to come alive out of the Bible to you? What are you going to hear him say? Because I'm guaranteeing you, it's going to be far bigger than your ordinary life is right now. Just like Gideon, he is showing up in this moment and he's looking at each one of you and he's saying, arise, mighty man, mighty woman of valor. I have a work for you to do. You know, Abraham Lincoln, I never forgot this story, and I've probably said this many times, but I'm going to say it again. I read this story when I was a kid about Abraham Lincoln and how when he was a small child, he was downtown with his father and they walked past this area where there was markets. But the markets weren't normal markets. There were men of color up on a stage and women. And an auctioneer was saying, who will give me this price? And they're going, Mops, look at this strong person. Who will give me this price? Blah, 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 blah. And Abraham Lincoln said to his dad, Dad, what are they doing? He said, son, they are selling the slaves. They're auctioning them off. Something happened to that little boy in his heart. He made a vow. He said, burn. If I ever get a chance to hit that thing on the head, I'm going to hit it hard. He didn't know that one day he'd be president of the United States, that one day he would be used to abolish slavery in America. But God is looking at you and he's saying, I've deposited something in you that irritates you. I don't know what it is for you, but I know what it is for me. I can't stand seeing people sick and diseased. I just want to set them free. I am having a hard time walking down the street and seeing someone sick. I just want to go up and say, can I pray for you? And one of these days I will be. I ask people in my workplace all the time, can I pray for you? Because that irks me. I know there's a Savior and I know He wants to heal and deliver and set free and save and redeem. But what's in your heart? What irritates you? What evil in the world just really, oh, I just wish I could fix that. You might think, like I said before, what if God said by one, you're going to save Ukraine like as if you're one man? Oh, we've got to stop thinking small because God is saying you're a mighty man and woman of valor. What is it that's in your heart to change? Stop thinking you can't do it. And start asking him how. How? Because he's saying, go. Go into all the world. Go. Arise. Stand up. Make a difference. You don't just carry the name of Jesus like a token. You're supposed to be in his name like an ambassador. An ambassador goes and they represent their nation in another nation. You're here in Stanthorpe or Tenerfield or Warwick or Dalveen or the Summit. You're here because you are representing the King of Kings and His kingdom here on earth. God has something massive in store for you to do. But will we heed His call just like Samuel, just like Gideon? Will we say, here I am, Lord, speak, your servant is listening. And not listening with the intent of forgetting about it, but listening with the intent of doing. Would you stand to your feet with me today? I just want to give an opportunity for two things. First thing, if you're here or if you're watching online and you've never received Jesus as your Lord and Savior, the Bible says this, there is one name given among men by which we must be saved. You cannot get to heaven, nor can you have a relationship to God any other way except through Jesus. Jesus put it like this, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. He is the door to the sheepfold. He is the good shepherd, and he has a place for you. The Bible says, as many as received him, to them he gave the right to become children of God. So, would you bow your heads with me today? Because I just want you to focus in this moment. You can close your eyes if you want to. But if you're in this room and you say, Anita, I've never received Jesus as my Savior. I've never had His blood cleanse me from my sins. I haven't committed my life to Him. I'm not in relationship with my Father God. I just want you to raise your hand. Anita, that's me, because I'd love to pray with you today. Do you know, in this moment, your eternity is hanging in the balance. You can spend eternity with a God who loves you and created you, or you can spend eternity without Him, but the difference is Jesus. If you put your whole trust in Jesus, the work he did for you, you can be what we call born again, made new. Your past forever gone, forgiven, washed, cleansed. Just pop your hand up, and if you're watching online, you can respond to, Anita, that's me. I want to give my life to Jesus. I want him to enter my life and change it forever. I'm just going to pray with you today. Why don't you say these words after me? Heavenly Father, thank you for sending your son Jesus to die for me, to wash my sins away, and to make me a child of God. I believe Jesus died, that he was buried, and 3 days later rose again, and is now seated at the Father's right hand. I put my trust in Jesus for my salvation. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Now here I have something for the rest of you. Will you heed his call today? Not anyone in this room is ordinary. Every one of you are an extraordinary masterpiece. You are made for so much more. And God is calling you today. Will you be part of the 300? Who in this room needs God to deal with some fear, deal with some doubt, deal with some disappointment, discouragement? What's still there? Because this is the moment to say, God, I'm surrendering it all. I'm going to let go of my small and I'm going to embrace your call. I don't need to know how. I just need to know you said it. I believe it. And so, and I'm going to go. So I'm going to ask you to do something this morning. If this is resonating with you, if you're willing to take that step from the mentality of small to the mentality of hearing God's call and answering it, I want you to come out the front this morning, because I'm just going to pray. I'm not going to pray with you individually, but I'm just going to pray, and together we're going to stand, just like Gideon and his army, his 300 mighty men, fearless, willing to respond to God's call. So if that's you, just step out of where you are. Come and fill the front. We're not going to take long on this, but I just feel we're supposed to do something to demonstrate our willingness to be obedient to God's call today. So come and fill the front. If you're saying, Nina, that's me. I'm stepping up. I'm going to take and understand and believe that God has more for me. He's called me, and I'm going to step into that call. Just come on up, because there is more. There is more for all of you. Don't be shy. Come on out. Stride out. Let that confidence fill you to do what God's called you to do. Amen. Amen. So, Father, I thank you for your people. I thank you that you've called each and every one of them. Just as you called Samuel by name, you know them by name. You created them to be born and alive at this time in 2025. You destined them for this hour and this moment. And Lord, I pray that they would hear your call, that they would leave aside everything of the past, everything that is small, and they would embrace all that you have for them, Lord. Step them into their destiny, I pray, in the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. Amen and amen. Amen. Well, we have a lot happening this week. There's Tuesday Bible study for the ladies, Wednesday night Bible study right here, 6:30, if you want to be part of that. Ross has a prayer meeting on Saturday morning at his home. There's Forge Men Saturday night. And of course, we're back fellowshipping on Sunday. So let's see you during the week. Be blessed. And let's enjoy some fellowship together. Love you all. Thank you.